Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this first Sunday of Advent. Welcome to all you who are joining us by live stream or later online. We're glad that we can connect and be God's people together and seek God's way and will together. I'm Rockford Johnson. It's a privilege to serve as senior pastor along with you and all the leaders of the church as together we advance this mission that is ours. Let us remember as we gather, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The ushers are passing connection pads here, and if you're worshiping online, we hope that you will let us know that you're worshiping with us, either through the Facebook chat or going to our website, the front page, mcfarlandumc.org, and letting us know so that we can connect. If you're here for the first time, we have welcome cards, and we would invite you to complete one and then leave it with one of the greeters at either door today, and they will give you a gift bag so that we can connect in that way, and we appreciate you doing that. Thank you for being among us. Let us know how we can pray with you. Pardon me. You can go to the website again, the front page, there's a red prayer request button you can tap or click, and send us your concerns and your joys, and we'd be glad to include those in our prayers this week and going forward. And if you're here today, of course, then we have this prayer request card that's in the pew rack in front of you. And so we invite you to let us know. Also, it's not too late to complete your 2022 annual commitment card, the All In Our Promise card, and we still have some of these, or you can do that online as well. We thank you because in doing that, you help us plan responsibly for the next year, and that's very important to us, that we plan responsibly and be good stewards of our resources. So Advent is here, of course, and if you go to our website, you'll find an Advent page there, and it will help you understand all the things that are going on, things that you may have missed last year because of distancing and those kinds of things. Today, we have the annual Advent Festival at 3 p.m. here, starting in Finn Hall, and we invite you to come and bring someone along with you. We have the Salee Jazz Quintet, we have goodies, we have things you can purchase, we have things you can do, crafts. It's a wonderful event that I've never experienced yet, but I'm going to be here, and I hope you'll come, and I hope you'll bring someone along with you, and introduce them to McFarland in that way. Next week, you can see the chancel platform is here, ready for the Philharmonic, and we will be worshiping together. It's so good to have Dr. Z and his leadership, and next week, the choirs and the Philharmonic together. So it'll be a great day of worship for us on the second Sunday of Advent. And that evening is the handbell concert next week, and then other things unfold as well. We're starting a new series of sermons today called He Will Bring Us Goodness and Light. As we enter into this time of expectation, as we travel together towards Christmas Eve. Would you stand together to sing or connect with us at home and sing hymn number 203, Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
Thank you. You may be seated. Following the scripture reading today, we will join together as you will find printed in your bulletin. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. A wind from God swept over the face of the waters. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. The light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Let us join together. Today we light the candle of hope. Jesus, the light of the world, is coming soon, and we wait in hope to see this light shining brightly in and around us. We believe that the goodness of God, our Savior, shall appear to save us. Look around. Do you see what I see?
Thank you all. It's good to be in worship with you this morning, to be together here and online, and let's join now in a time of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we come to you this morning, the beginning of this Advent season, this time of preparing to once again receive the Christ child. And we sit in this great place and at home and wherever we find ourselves this morning. And when we think about preparing, so many things run through our minds. There's the lists that of things that need to be done, the decorations that need to be put up, the gifts that need to be purchased, the people that we need to see, the parties that we need to attend, and it just seems to continue to heap upon us. It's hard for us at times to make space in our lives to prepare ourselves to once again meet the Christ child in the manger. But we ask you, O God, this morning to come and meet us where we are and to take us to where you want us to be. To once again be reminded that the story of the birth of Jesus is about you coming to us to meet us where we are and to then change us and transform us and help us to be more like who you desire us to be, who you created us to be. This morning, O God, we come to you knowing that we are burdened, that we are sad, that we are scared, that we are frustrated, that we're joyful, that we're hopeful, that we're excited, that we anticipate great things. All of those emotions running together, we once again, O God, come to you and lay them before you and ask you to prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls for what you want us to experience during this Advent season. We pray, O God, for those that we know who are hurting, those who are struggling, those who need a little extra. And we ask, O God, that you will open up those opportunities for us to be what it is that others need, to serve and to care and to love. But most of all, God, this morning, we pray for the hope that is found in this Advent season, the hope that will once again be rebirthed on that Christmas day. Oh God, we anticipate you, we love you, and we strive to see and to seek you. In Christ's name, amen.
So excited that Josh and Latoya Groves come to present their daughter Imogene Pearl for baptism today, and Sister Evelyn comes with them today. And so, congregation, I would invite you to turn to page 39 in your hymnals. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. And so, Josh and Latoya, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Imogene in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Yes. And do you, congregation, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Imogene now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Imogene with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and Imogene, who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness, that throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Okay. Are you ready? Oh, I'm going to try. Okay. You can stay with Mom. Imogene Pearl, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit working within you, having been born of water and the Spirit, make you a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And may you always hear God say, Imogene, you are my precious child with whom I am so pleased. Amen. Congregation, can we sing to Imogene this morning? Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this wonderful day and for the life of Imogene Pearl. God, we pray that you will continue to walk with her throughout her life. God, that she will know your love and your grace and your mercy. And God, that she would just love you so much that she would share that love with others and be a light in this world. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 211, verses 1 through 4, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, verses 1 through 4, hymn 211.
Thank you.
I love the Advent season, and I love being in the sanctuary during Advent, decorated and feels like it's ready to go. But more than that, I love being with you, whether it's in person or online. Those of you who haven't been in this sanctuary for a while, we are so glad that you're here. And I'm reminded this morning, especially as we witness this baptism, about God calling us together and finding how we can serve a world in need, a world that needs to know the rejoicing that comes from Advent into the Christmas season. And so as we enter into this time of offering, will you think about how you once again can give to the kingdom of God? Thank you. You may be seated.
May be seated. Our first scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John in the first chapter. Hear these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And from the Gospel of Matthew in the second chapter, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our thinking and feeling, O God, that you might speak to us, that you might enlighten us, that we might be able to understand and see and comprehend. what it is you're calling us to, how it is that you're nurturing us, how it is that you're equipping us to carry out the mission. And so we come listening in the name of the way. He will bring us goodness and light. It was just shortly after Thanksgiving Day in 1962 when the song that ends with that phrase was debuted by the Harry Simeon Chorale, and they sold 250,000 copies that Advent. The next year, Bing Crosby recorded it with his great crooner's bass baritone voice, ending with that great crescendo on the last word. I won't try to do it for you. The last word being light. He will bring us goodness and light. Well, he sold, of course, millions, and now, 59 years later, millions and millions, tens of millions of copies have been sold, recorded by almost every singer you can imagine. It's even more popular than the 1957 B.C. Clark anniversary jingle. The good news of the coming of goodness and light through the nativity of Jesus now has its place, of course, in American music history. It was October of that year, 1962, at the height of the Cuban Missile Crisis over the attempted installation of nuclear missiles in Cuba, that Noel Regney and Gloria Baker wrote, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" Neither were very religious. She was nominally Jewish and he nominally Catholic, but they must have known the biblical nativity story to some degree. The song doesn't quite follow it, you know, if you read the scriptures. But it gets the point. They were commissioned to write a song for the B-side of a recording of a more more promising song that would be on the A-side of that recording. Now, Noel was raised in France. His name was actually Leon. I don't know how you enunciate that in French, but he changed it, flipped it to be Noel. And when he was young, he was forced into the Nazi army and then escaped and joined the French resistance. And so he experienced some of the horrors of war, some of the tragedy of it. He was inspired to write the lyrics, said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see?" After watching babies pushed in strollers on the sidewalks of New York City, while thoughts of war and nuclear missile crisis played in his heart and in his head. Of course, I didn't know that until I did a little research. I didn't know what he saw. I imagine now that he was walking the windy streets of New York City in the dark of night and saw some children like innocent lambs, thought of the danger to them because of war, and his own experience, perhaps, of war. And then the lyrics began to come to his mind. "Do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite." We think of that star that he talks about as the star of the Magi in the Gospel of Matthew, but his daughter said that Noel was thinking of a bomb burst with a tail, perhaps a nuclear bomb. Context is so very illuminating. Of course, the song has taken on a life of its own and blends in with all of the Advent and Christmas songs that we know, and I will always think when I hear that song of the natal star of Jesus that's celebrated in the Gospel of Matthew. The bold Advent declaration with which the song ends, "He will bring us goodness and light," then, as I've said, is the theme for this series of sermons that takes us through Advent into Christmas Eve, when we not only pray for peace, people everywhere, but we also sing, sleep in heavenly peace as we hold up bright candles against the darkness. This series explores the story of the coming of Jesus born into humanity that we find in the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John. And there we read that the Word, the message we could say of God, became flesh, full of grace and truth, full of goodness and light. The Gospel of John has none of the stories, none of the characters that we see in the nativity scenes. Not the wise men, and not Bethlehem, and not the star, and not the angel song, and not the shepherds, and not the manger. I'll reference those, of course, as we work through the Gospel of John, but focus first on what John is trying to tell us. Context is also important for the Gospel of John. Writing late in the first century, the author addresses Jewish Christians living in a time when some in the ancient Jewish community wanted to exclude followers of Jesus who were still in the synagogue. And to them, John writes that life and light arrive uniquely in Jesus. He assures them that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it or did not comprehend it. You see, the word there can be translated either overcome or comprehend, and you can find it in various translations both ways. I believe it's best translated did not understand, did not comprehend it. The reason I conclude that is found in the story of Jesus healing the man born blind in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, a sign that God was shining in and through Jesus in a compelling and effective way. In that story, the religious leaders just cannot comprehend and cannot understand how Jesus could claim that the divine light and goodness of God was shining in him. They investigate the healing. They bring the guy in for questioning a couple of times. They interrogate his parents, who, like the community to which the Gospel of John is later written, are afraid if they say too much, they will be pushed out of the synagogue. And finally, when the authorities press the healed man to denounce Jesus as a sinner, the man who now sees basically asks these visionless and muddy-minded leaders, "Do you see what I see?" He says, "One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." In that story, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not comprehend it. The story ends with the healed man talking to Jesus and affirming that he does believe that the light of God does shine in Jesus. And then finally, because the religious authorities cannot comprehend that the light of God shines uniquely in Jesus, and because they're also claiming that their insight is incontestable, Jesus reminds them that they are sinners. Their sight is actually imperfect. They are blind to all that God is doing. They don't get it. Like the Magi, the wise men in Matthew's gospel, we sometimes, no, perhaps we many times, think that we see everything. But some of the context is hidden, and we don't truly understand. The Magi see a star, and because of their context and conventional understanding, think that a new king is born in Jerusalem, where you would expect a king to be, because that's where the kings were. The trouble is that they don't have all the context, the Hebrew scriptures and the words of the prophets. And neither would they imagine that a ruler would be born of peasant parents. They need their eyes open to see the goodness and light. It shines in the darkness. The appearance of the grace of God, full of grace and truth. The good news of God comes to us today, I think, in two particular applications. First, it is always good news that God's light keeps on shining in and through the message of Jesus, even if there is a chilling wind that blows in the darkness. Whatever the darkness is that you face or I face, however blue your holiday might seem because of particular grief or trouble or circumstances, something that threatens or pends in the balance, know this good news. The light of God is alive in the true grace of Christ, and it does not stop shining. It keeps on shining, and every moment God is highlighting a pathway of goodness and light. And we are called in every moment, in every day, in every circumstance to ask, to seek, what is the pathway of goodness and light? How do I collaborate with God in this moment? So keep looking, keep seeking, keep an open mind and heart, keep believing that the light shines in your darkness, even when it's hard to see and hard to comprehend. Secondly, I think there's an application here about, well, let me tell a story. It's a story that's told in one of the popular Covey leadership books. A lady is traveling through Europe, and she has a stopover in London at the Heathrow Airport. She has some time, she has a few hours, so she goes to one of the sky shops where you can buy almost anything you can imagine you might need, and she picks up a couple of things. She gets the morning newspaper, and she buys London's famous Walker shortbread cookies, a small package of those. Well, she finds a seat and sits down by a little table, and after a few moments, a man comes along. He appears to be well-mannered and nicely dressed. It's a very busy airport. There's not much other seating, but there's a seat next to her, and so he comes over and does that thing that we sometimes do when we don't say anything to strangers, and he makes a kind of a nod that says, "Would it be all right if I sit down?" And she makes a nod which says, "Yes, you can do that if you want to." And she's reading the paper, and she's not paying much attention to him until after a few moments when she turns the page, sees the cookies, and reaches for them. And as she reaches for them, the man's attention is riveted on her every move. It's like he's watching her reach out her hand, take the cookies, begin to take the package off. He looks at her and looks at the cookies. She sees a smile of interest on his face as he sort of leans forward, looking at her, and then at the cookies again. She's feeling a little self-conscious about this whole thing, but she goes ahead and takes a cookie and eats it, and the little biscuit stands up to its reputation, and she thinks, that's quite good, and so she's pleased that she has this snack. Then this amazing thing happens. Before she can go for the second cookie, he reaches down and picks up a cookie and eats it. She takes one, and he takes one, and it goes like that, back and forth, never saying a word, every other cookie. But now the tension is building because it's an odd number of cookies, and there's one left. And before she can devise a strategy about what she will do, he takes the last cookie, breaks it in half, and hands half to her. And she kind of numbly, with a quirky frown on her face, takes the cookie. He stands up, dusts himself off, makes a little bow, and walks off, never a word spoken. She slumps in her chair, decides to go back to the sky shop to get some antacids. She goes over, picks up what she wants, goes to the register to pay, opens her traveling bag, and there is her package of cookies. Do you see what I see? Did she see what he saw? How often do we check to see if what we think we see is all there is to see. Can we see what God sees? The light shines in the darkness, but our darkness of assumptions, misperceptions, never asked questions, often does not let us see or fully understand the light. Such oversight, or shall we call it undersight, often plays havoc in our relationships. We can easily be emotionally subjective and see only what our feelings, preferences, and opinions allow us to see and understand. You snarl and blame your spouse because your spouse devoured that last piece of beautiful pumpkin pie with all that whipped cream on top of it, only to find out it was your brother-in-law, just before he left the house, who stuffed it in his face. When that kind of thing happens, suddenly our goodness and light seems a little like a grinchy shadow. There's a word for that ability to see through to the whole truth: perspicacity. The capacity to see through the barriers, take it all in, the ability to see through the darkness and see things that really are there, see them for what they really are. To have such a capacity, we need spiritual help. How do I know that? Because we're human, and we have propensities. We're bent in certain ways. We have pride. We think we know. We have our lack of self-awareness about our limited knowledge. We have our compromised humility. We need the help of the Spirit of God because, like those religious authorities, we also are always less than perfect, of course. We never can see all that God sees. We are sinners in that sense. The light of the grace and wisdom of God active in the Spirit still shines today and is able to bring goodness and light into our hearts and minds so that we can develop our ability to see through and see all the way, our ability to see through the darkness of assumptions and easy answers, to see through the spin of rhetoric and argument, and to deal with the human reality that we never see all. We never see all that God can see. We easily assume that those cookies are our cookies. We easily misjudge the motives and circumstances of those around us, even those close to us. Stephen R. Covey wrote about how we can make changes in our lives so that we can bring goodness and light into our relationships, our families, and our workplace. He talks about the see, do, get cycle, this practice, this method of change, saying when you change the way you see things, it influences what you do and the results, therefore, that you get. He wrote, if you want small changes, work on your behavior. If you want quantum leap changes, work on your paradigms. That is, work on your habitual way of seeing things. Or perhaps better, work on our habitual ways of not seeing everything. The biblical nutshell of this wisdom is found on the lips of Jesus in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, do not judge. Why do you see the speck in your own eye? Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not see the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you have a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, he says, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly enough to help your neighbor remove the speck from their eye. The key to better seeing through and understanding others and even ourselves is being more fully aware of the context and the circumstances before we make judgments and jump to conclusions. And it begins with the assumption that God wants to give us goodness and light, grace and truth, the grace-filled truth. The goodness of the illuminating wisdom of Jesus that curbs our rush to blame and encourages our humble introspection so that we always first ask ourselves, can I see what she sees? Am I sure of the whole picture? Do I see what God sees? There is a starlight dancing in the cold and eerie winds of darkness, a persistent light like the stars above that are always there even when you can't see them, a star, a peaceable star with a tail as big as a kite, with a reach that reaches you and me and everyone, a sign of God's nearness and grace that will, if we believe and practice and open ourselves to it, bring us goodness and light. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for your grace and your wisdom, your truth. Light up our lives with the ability to see better, we pray, that we might live better, that we might do what you've called us to do, that we might love those around us and love the world. Bring us goodness and light. In the name and the way of Jesus. Amen.
As we prepare to come to the table, I would invite those who are joining us online, if you do not already have your bread and your juice with you, to go and get those at this time. We all come to the table of the Lord today to experience God's love and mercy and forgiveness, God's light and goodness, and we come together as the body of Christ, celebrating God's faithfulness in our lives and in all lives throughout time. This is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the table of the United Methodist Church, nor of McFarland. And so everyone is welcome to come today and to partake of God's gifts. You will come down these center aisles and will receive your elements. We do have a gluten-free option. And so if you need that, please let your server know. You're welcome to stand or even kneel here today at the altar and take communion, and you can pray for as long as you would like, and then please exit and go back to your seats by the outside aisles. And of course, it is our tradition on every Communion Sunday to take up a special offering that goes to support our Thursday Utility Assistance Ministry. This ministry helps people every week to pay a utility bill, which then in turn frees up their other money and allows them to pay other bills and buy other necessities. And so your giving helps people stay in their homes. It helps them have food and other basic necessities that we all need. And so you can leave your offering on the altar as you come forward. And so now, as you prepare to come to Christ's table, I would invite you to turn to page 12 in your hymnals. You can also follow along on the screen with us as we hear Christ's invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And in the Great Thanksgiving, the responses will be sung, and you can find those on page 17. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you send empty away. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and connected together, and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the same bread. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ, and the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Grace and truth, goodness and light, made tangible, touchable, tastable in this mystery, this holy mystery. Come to the table. The choir will come, and the balcony, all of us, come to the table. give you our thanks, O God, for this great gift. Fill us as the days roll by now, full of grace and truth, goodness and light. Thank you. Thank you for our for your love and our salvation, for the liberation of our lives to do all that we can do that's good for the world, good for those we love, good for those around us, good for our neighbors. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. Let's stand to sing together our final hymn, number 213, Lift Up Your Heads. What a wonderful day, baptism and Holy Communion and the congregation of God gathered and connected. Now Advent has begun, and you have some friends and family and acquaintances that are not that religious, but it's a good time to invite them to come to the handbell concert or to come next Sunday morning and hear the Philharmonic as we hear the Messiah and join in worship together. Or candlelight carol, or this afternoon, bring them for cookies and the jazz quintet, and let people know about your church home. Bring them into our home. Invite them to come. And now may the God of all hope fill you with such joy and peace and believing that hope may abound in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.